About the stories from way back when, I can remember my dad telling a story when he was first preaching in Salt Lick, Kentucky. He was called to preach in this church. And do you know Salt Lick, Kentucky? You've heard of it? You've heard of it. Well, my daddy went there to preach for one of his first sermons. And he preached and they went out. He was shaking hands with everybody as they went out. And a little boy was standing there by the side and he says, "Mama, we ought to call that man. He only preached 15 minutes. They're looking for a preacher, so. I was told I have to preach 2 hours this afternoon. I said, "I'm sorry, brother." I just don't last that long. I shouldn't say it that way, but this morning we want to draw your attention to a subject that is not very pleasant, but a subject that is very needful. And it was already mentioned, and that's the subject of hell. You might say, "Brother Tweet, why are you starting out a message with the subject of hell?" Well, I have two messages on hell that I plan to bring this week, the Lord willing. And I pray that God will use these messages for His honor and His glory. And anyone who's ever taught on that subject knows it's not an easy subject to talk about. I notice that you have a tract over there, and Brother Tim says, "Is that going to be your outline?" I says, "No, it's not going to be my outline, but it is my subject." What my plan is, I've been praying about this meeting for a while. For how long has it been? 3 months since you asked me to come. And not knowing, I've never preached a series of messages morning and evening like this before. And what I want to do, the Lord willing, He being my guide, is in the mornings, with the exception of this morning, I'll be bringing a series of messages out of the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, on the seven ones. And I'll start with the first one this afternoon, but all the rest of the week will be in the morning on the ones. And the evangelistic type messages will be in the evenings instead of in the mornings. So if you would, please, I'd like to draw your attention to Luke, the 16th chapter. We know there's only one place where we can find any information in this world regarding this subject, and that's God's Word. Man doesn't want to write anything that would condemn him to a place as such, but the question is hell a real place? The other message that I'll be bringing is regarding good men and women who will go to hell. Good men and women, moral people, that because they're moral, they'll think they're okay. But the fact of the matter is, you can be as moral as you want to be. You can discipline yourself to the utter extreme and be very strict in all your actions. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm sorry. If you have never received Him as your Lord and Savior, and you die without Him, you will go to this place. And this morning I want to illustrate some things regarding this horrible place that has been created for those who hate God, those who despise God, those that reject our Lord. Let's read from verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our divine Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Thee once again this day. We're thankful for this opportunity that You have given to us this morning to worship Thee in Thy house and Thy church that You have established during Your earthly ministry and promised perpetuity to. And now, so many years later, still standing for the truth of God's Word. Coming down, the truth coming down because of men of God that You called to start churches, to start mission works and churches being organized and other men being called into the ministry and carrying forth that truth and Your people growing in grace and knowledge of Thee and now a body fitly framed together that groweth unto Thee. O Lord, I pray because I know that in this congregation this morning that there may be 1 or 2, maybe 10 people here that are not members of this church. They've never received Thee as their Lord and Savior. They've never come to that place where they've seen their lost condition. They don't fear You. They don't fear the fact that if they die, there's no hope for them and that they're going to spend an eternity in hell. They don't fear Thee. And Lord, I pray that You would create in them a fear of God. Create in them, O Lord, an understanding of their lost condition. Open their hearts as You opened the heart of Lydia and she attended unto the words of the apostle. Lord, this morning I pray, as everyone here has heard Your word many, many times, many of these lost people have been under the hearing of Your word for years, and maybe today, maybe during this week, one of these people will come to realize that they're lost, truly lost, and that You would bring repentance to them, that You would show them that they are a wicked person, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins. There's no other access to Thee. Help us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I have, first of all, is hell a real place? Another question I have, does Jesus Christ lie? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He is the sinless Son of God? Never sinned. Well, it was Jesus Christ who told us about this rich man and Lazarus. He's not lying to you. This is not a parable. And even if it was a parable, it would still be a true parable. It would be true enough that you should believe that Jesus told it. And that what He's saying here will affect you one day if you don't follow the instructions that God has given in His Word. To answer the question, is hell a real place? We have only one source to go to. Only one source that will tell us the truth, and that is the Word of God. Men have written about hell, as you have a tract over here. It's the truth. But where did it come from? Brother Reynolds didn't write this just because he decided to invent a place called hell. He read this in God's Word and decided he needed to have a pamphlet, a tract that you can read in your home, that you can take home and meditate on it and find out what God says in one concise reading about hell. Those of us who preach this subject on hell, many times were ridiculed by outsiders, by the world, and they call us fanatics, and sometimes they'll refer to us as those hellfire and brimstone preachers. Let them talk. But they will burn. And the fire will not be quenched. The worm dieth not because we preach the truth. What we preach regarding this hell is the punishment that God has created, has made to chastise, rightly so, justly so, those that have rejected the Word of God. Do you reject the Word of God? Lost man doesn't want to think or write of a place, which is, if true, that he could go there and eventually spend eternity. He doesn't want a place like this in his mind. He doesn't want to be reminded of this place, even though he'll use that word constantly in his vocabulary. He'll tell people to go there. But he doesn't realize that when he dies, and when he dies without Christ, that he will go there. You know, we can't really conceive of a place of eternal torment and punishment in our minds. I have looked at many fires in my life. In fact, I like fires. I don't set fires, but I like fire, especially when it's cold out, and it's in a controlled environment in a fireplace. But I have sat and observed fire, and it's interesting. It's useful, it's beautiful, but it can also be very dangerous. And generally what is in that fire will be consumed. But we have some examples in God's Word which we'll see that fire did not consume what it was surrounding. And if God can do that, we know He can, God did that, He can also make your body not consume in that fire that He promises will be for eternity. No one wants to go there if they're in the right mind, but many people will go there because they think it's a bunch of foolishness. Some even deny there is a hell and that God would not be a loving God if He would create such a place as this. Some lost men fear that there is a place called hell that we preach about. Others laugh and make fun at those who believe and preach about such a place as hell. It's really strange. But on the other hand, you can have movie makers that are making pictures regarding this place. I just don't understand it. They don't believe there's a God that would create such a place, but then they want to create a place that looks like that. They try to show some form of hell and of Satan. They think it's a big joke. But they don't even come close to what the Bible says about regarding this place called hell. The fact about it is there's nothing glamorous about the place called hell. There is nothing which would attract a normal person to go to this place. It will definitely be a place without the blessed presence of the triune God. And there will be an absence of all that is good, all that is pure, all that is holy, all that is beautiful, and all that is righteous. There will be none of that in that place called hell. Nothing good will be there. There's too much to say about this horrible place. There is much said in God's Word regarding this place called hell. In God's Word, it tells us what kind of people will be going to this place to pay for their years of disobedience and rebellion against a thrice holy God. Number one, hell will be a horror because of the kinds of people that will be there. It's not going to be pleasant whatsoever. Look what it says in Psalms 9 and verse 17. In Psalms 9 and verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Do you understand what that says? Every person in this world that is wicked, even those that don't think they're wicked and don't believe in Christ, as I've already said, are going to be turned in this place of hell. And all the nations that forget God. You think of all the wicked and pagan nations there are in this world today, and they're places where you and I don't want to live, and they're going to be there. They're going to be there. Now let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and look at a couple of verses in this chapter, starting with verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving," that's you if you don't believe in Christ, see. "The fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers." Can you imagine being a Christian being placed in a cell with a murderer? A Christian, it's not going to happen there. It's not going to happen in hell. There's not going to be any good there. There's not going to be any Christians there to comfort you in your in this horrible torment that you're going to be in. It says, "And whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Turn back to chapter 20 and look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. That's time without end. No, they say, there's not going to cease this torment. It'll be continual. Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Another verse that goes along with this is found in 2 Peter 2 and 4, which says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Hell will be an horror. Terrible, horrible place. And then secondly, that horror will be there because of its climate in one sense. It's going to be a hot, sticky, miserable environment, worse than the tropical climate. Now, in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, it is common for the people to say, I'm going to say it in Spanish and translate, okay? So we're not speaking in tongues, okay? Que San Pedro Sula es el lugar más caliente donde el diablo quita su camisa. That San Pedro Sula is the hottest place there is and is where Satan takes off his shirt. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's hot. It's miserable. But it's not like this place. It's not like hell. Hell is going to be horrible. Look at Luke 16 again. Luke 16 and 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Now notice how much water he's asking for, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. I could put my finger, probably wouldn't fit in that bottle, but I could put a little bit of water on my finger. How much water, how much refreshment are you going to get out of that? Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This place will be a place of fire and brimstone with no way to cool down. No way. Matthew 5:22 say, but I say unto you, Matthew 5:22 says, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. This fire will never stop. It's an eternal fire. Look with me now in Mark, the 9th chapter. It says here 3 different times that fire will not be quenched. It will not be put out. No one can stop this fire. 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having 2 hands to go into hell, into the fire. Notice now, that never shall be quenched. Never will be stopped. Can't turn the burner off. 44. where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. They'll want to die and can't die. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 46. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched once again. 48. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. 3 times, 4 times. That fire is eternal fire. Next we see that the horrors of hell are so called because of the activities which will be going on in that place. And we know what the text told us in the book of Luke. But in Matthew 13:23 says that there's going to be gnashing of teeth. What does that mean to you? When you hear someone say that he gnashed his teeth, the grinding of teeth. I can't remember, but somewhere in our life, there was some that slept in our house that ground their teeth. I can just remember it clearly. It's a horrible sound. But here's a gnashing of teeth. There's a wailing and a gnashing of teeth that keeps on going. There will be shame and everlasting contempt, as it says in Daniel 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Now, is that you? Do you have everlasting life this morning? Are you assured of that? Do you know that if you died today, that you go home to be with the Lord? Do you have that assurance? If not, there's no hope. If you die without Christ, there's no hope. Some to And many of them, Daniel 12 and 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You're never forgiven. Your mind keeps working. Why didn't I listen to brother? Why didn't I listen to my preacher? Why didn't I listen to my daddy, my mama? Why? There's no answer. No one there to respond to you. No one to put their hand on your back and say, well, you're a good little fella. You're a good little girl. No. There's no hope. It's over. You are getting what you deserved. You rejected the gospel. You rejected the call to come and repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. You are receiving exactly what you deserve. Oh, that's hard for me to say. There will be unquenchable thirst in this place, as it says in verse 24 of our text. Look at verse 24. We've already read this, but I'm going to read it again. Verse 24 and 25. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame and ate. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest. Just remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. And likewise Lazarus, evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. In this place, there's going to be unsoothable sorrow. In Psalms 18 and verse 5, it says it very clearly. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. The sorrows of hell surround one all the time. Everyone will be in that same state of mind. No one can change that state of mind because it's just the way it is. There'll be no joy. There'll be no happiness. There'll be no peace. There's no place to rest. No tranquility. There's no one that can comfort you. And people will want to die and they cannot. They cannot. In Revelation 14:11 says this, that there'll be no rest, as we've already mentioned. And the smoke of their torment has sent it up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Are you ready to face such a place? I can present to you a place that's a whole lot better. Do you want to go to this place? No, I don't want to go there. Are you living for the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? No, I don't. What's wrong? You know why you're not saved? It's because you love your sin. And it's your sin that's going to send you to hell. You have to repent of your sin. You have to repent of your sin that you've committed against the Holy God. And trust that what Jesus did at Calvary, His shed blood, can be applied to you. A lot of people think they're okay because they do good things. That's another message, and I really don't want to preach it now, but it'd fit right in. But don't get confused. And I'm not trying to get saved people lost. But I'm trying to get people that are undecided, people that don't know, people that are confused. Listen, don't play games with this. This is not playing the lottery. You're not hoping that you'll get there. You're going or you're not going. There's no inner... No place in the middle. I mean, it's either or. Either or. Forever and ever. What words? Now, I would rather be told, if you're saved, you can live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Where there's going to be peace, joy, happiness. We're going to be in His presence forever, singing songs to honor and glorify Him. There'll be nothing evil that enters into that place. The complete opposite of what hell is. Hell will be a horror because of one's memory. In our text in Luke 16, the rich man was very clear as to what he wanted. He knew he could not get out of hell, but he wanted physical help, just a little bit. He wanted a little bit of water. And he also wanted a warning for his five brothers that were at home. I've used this in funerals. I didn't know this man down here was lost or saved. And I just tell him, I said, I don't know this man. I don't know if the Lord saved him during his life or not. But I'll tell you one thing. If he's in heaven, he wants all of his brothers and sisters to come to be with him. If he's in hell, which I don't know if he's there or not, he's crying out, tell my brothers and sisters to not come to this place. Okay, let's see what it says here now. Verse 25, it says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he's covered and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed,
so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, if you fall into the pits of hell, your mom and daddy can't come from over there and try and comfort you. And you can't go there to get comforted. There's a great gulf fixed. It's fixed. There's nothing you can do to change it. It's just the way it is. He knew that they needed to hear the gospel message. This rich man knew. The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go tell my brothers. Go tell my sisters. Go tell my mom and dad, my grandparents. You go tell them that they don't come here, this place. Let's look at Romans 10. Romans, the 10th chapter, so clearly. Verses 17 and 18 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Have you heard? Well, with the outer ear. I'm talking, have you heard? I was a preacher's kid, one of those PKs. Now some PKs here too. We lived under a very strict regimen. I mean, we were in church every service, and we couldn't do a lot of things the other kids did because we were the preacher's kids. And it got down to time where I was thinking about spiritual things, and I'd made a profession when I was 8 years old, and it hadn't changed me. I mean, I was leading the singing, all doing all kinds of stuff, praying publicly, and had different responsibilities in the church, and one day I met a lady who was 16 years old, and I taught her some stuff about the Lord's church and about dress and about hair and different things, and she just took a hold of it. But her life showed me that I was lost. Showed me I was lost. God revealed me, and I thought I was afraid to walk in the street. I was afraid. We live in South Park, where the policemen call that little Chicago. That was during when Chicago was really bad. And I had this fear that I was going to die and go to hell. Who placed that there? It was God. God was working in me. And the Lord saved me at age 16 and a half. And I knew there was nothing I could do to save myself. I had to finally come to that place that I tried everything I knew to do. But finally, just simple reliance. God, I can't do this. Please save me. It wasn't in church. It was at my bed, next to my bed, on my knees. And the Lord saved me. Changed me. Made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. The fear went away. The fear went away. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Look at 8 through 10. But what saith it? Chapter 10 of Romans, I'm at in verse 8 through 10. But what saith the word? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. Listen to me. I'm reading. I want you to think about it. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you meditate on that a moment? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Can you this day repent and believe the gospel? How many times has the message of grace been preached in this world, in this church building, to you? How many men and women have turned their backs and rejected the message of truth? And how many of those people have died and gone to hell? We don't know, but many. Why did they do it? Because they loved their sin. They loved their sin. Revelation 22:17, a beautiful verse. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And in Acts 6:28 says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost, no. Almost won't do it. I'm thinking about it. That won't do it. You must repent and believe. You must be born again to escape this horrible torment of hell. Almost is not an option for you. Hell will be a place of horror because it will last forever and forever and forever, if we can even imagine that. The Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself to hold the multitudes. Enlarged herself. Isaiah 5:14 says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." Millions, billions of lost, God-hating, God-mocking fools, God will execute judgment upon them. All those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hell has no exits by which someone can leave. There is no escape anywhere or any time, my friend. After death, the judgment of God will be poured out upon all lost sinners, the Bible says. Hebrews 9:27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." This place called hell, it's going to last forever and ever without end. Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." In conclusion this morning, a lost person will go into everlasting punishment. And the saved person in heaven with our Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know, I believe in the doctrines of grace. And I don't want to make this sound too simple. And it really comes down to, are you lost? Or are you saved? Do you want to be saved? I mean, yes or no? Do you want to be saved? Well, the instructions are to repent of your sins. Sylvia's brother was a very faithful church member for years. No. He was a very faithful church attender for years. Literally years. Tithe. He was more faithful than a lot of church members. His name is Vincent Richter. And his preacher one day told him, "Vincent, the reason why is you love your sin." And that stuck with me. And the Lord used those few words to bring to his mind, "Yes, I do love my sins." And he repented of them and God saved him. Don't love sin. Don't love your sin. Hate your sin. Flee from your sin. Trust in Jesus Christ and He will save you. He will save you. Because we know that no one wants to go to hell, but many do not have any spiritual desire to change. There are many who despise the idea of absolute standards of which God calls right and wrong. Other people have had a head knowledge of the truth, but have never come to the place to see themselves as they really are before a holy God. Lost, depraved, hell-deserving sinners. Some of these people have gone to church all their lives and have been good people, but have never repented of their sins and trusted in Jesus Christ and that He died for them. And many of them think that they are just fine the way they are and they'll take their chances. But they do not understand that ignoring the sin question in their lives does nothing to appease the wrath of God. That they are still responsible for their evil, sinful doings. They are responsible. You can't place your responsibility on someone else. It's your responsibility. It's your sin. Your sin has to be atoned for. In Christ, our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Buried in the deepest part of the sea, never to be remembered again. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Not just a covering like the blood in the Old Testament of the animals, of the bulls and the goats. Not just a covering. Gets rid of it. It's gone. The problem with lost person is that he or she, once again I'm going to say it, loves their sin and does not see that their sin will send them to hell. For example, the blood of the Passover sacrifice had to be applied to the doorpost. I believe it was above and on each side. If that blood was there, the death angel passed over. But if it wasn't there, the firstborn of every family died that did not have that blood there. If the sacrifice of Christ and His atoning blood has not yet been put to your account, you must personally repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Then and then only will you be at peace with God, saved from hell, and given grace to serve the Lord God Almighty acceptably. Once again, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can you? Will you this morning repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ? Brother Reynolds and I don't want you to go to hell. I mean, that's ridiculous to say, yeah, I don't care. Go ahead and go to hell. And I've heard of preachers that have actually said that from the pulpit. Well, if you don't want to believe, go ahead and go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to be in God's presence, not in Satan's presence. One last verse. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh, brothers and sisters, thank Him for what He's done for you. Oh, it's wonderful to know Jesus Christ. I can't imagine going back to the old way. I can't imagine it. And I can't imagine what you're going through as a young person, older person, knowing what you should do and saying no later, another time. I'll tell you one little story. Brother Anastasio Suaso, he's a pastor in the church in Lis, Honduras, in Colón, the state of Colón, went to visit his great-grandmother a few years back. She was 102 years old. 102 years old. And he was witnessing to her, and she could still walk around, do stuff. And he says, "Won't you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ?" After explaining a lot to her. And you know what she said? "Un poquito más. Give me a little more time." How much time does lady have? 102 years old. Well, none of us know when our day is up. None of us know. We've heard of all kinds of tragedies in our lives, and no one's guaranteed of tomorrow. But I would encourage you to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. Brother Reynolds.